Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
What I will talk about is the organizational phase of growth. So it's not, don't expect like a big spiritual talk of something. It's the organizational faith of growth. I could talk about spiritual growth. I could talk about a lot of other growth topic, but it's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about organizational phase of growth and the challenges for the church to break through growth phases. Because many churches stop growing. And sometimes has nothing to do with the spiritual. It has to do with leadership and don't understand where they are in growth phases. And that church need to be led different ways in different phases. Maybe with the same leaders, but different. And that's so I hope that clarifies expectation. And then if you manage, we will go then, so what about change? If you're going to have a change in an old church, or in a stagnating church, or in a plateauing church, how can we make transition and make change? So, two topics. Is that what you expected, or was it something else? So if it's totally wrong, so you can you can leave. Hello. It's okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
See.
Give you a second chance.
Yeah, give you a second chance. I'm Øyvind Øgland. I'm coming from Norway. I have kind of two, three things on my hat. Number one, I'm pastor, church planter for some years, 20 years plus. In Evangelical Lutheran Free Church. I'm leading church planting in my denomination. I have for 20 years led a national movement of church planting. At the same time, I have started two businesses and working in consultancy and business developing organization in businesses. And I'm leading M4 Europe as a movement in Europe. So I have one foot in business organization development in business organization. And doing coaching, training, developing team, organization in businesses, organization. At the same time, I'm passionate for Christ, and I also want to bring him out there in the business, and also plant churches that reach people. So that's kind of, and maybe the most important thing, I'm married with Linda, I have four kids. The oldest one is here, he's 22, and I have 20, 18, and 16 years old. And I have a beautiful wife. That's true. You know her. So that's who I am. And because of that, I have worked also in Norway with some of the biggest organization, Norwegian Lutheran Mission, bigger organization of changing the whole organization. But I also work with local churches of breaking growth barrier to help them get through when they are stuck. And what I try to then explain is that we have different phases of growth in a church. And I think, like everything in nature, if you see this is a tree, if you cut it, you know? And there is some white and there's some dark. And what is the dark?
During the winter.
And every growth goes through pain to come to the next level. Life is growth phases. And many phases of love have challenges and pain. And you can grow into maturity, or you can grow into some maybe unmaturity. Depends on how you deal with the different phases of life. Teenagers is one phase. 28 to 32 years is one phase. That's when realism and idealism meet each other in adult life. When you start to ask so many questions of your idealistic attitude and thinking, and you start to try to bring this together, that's one crisis in all adults growing into maturity. So all life has in the growth some growth and pain and challenges to come into the next phase, I think. That's how maturity comes. Maturity don't come through an easy peasy, everything is easy, I don't think so. And I think many of us have learned that pain is also a part of life. Pain is also part of organization. Crisis is something that's real. And it's in the church also. Please take a seat, like here, it's placed there. And you are also here. Thank you. Welcome. So that's my introduction. I believe, like in winter, it's crisis. Another thing that I believe is that everything in the God-created nature has structure. Like a leaf, there's a big structure. Like a human body, we have structure. So the church is both an organism of people living, but it's also an organization. You can try to say it's not an organization. Even a family with four kids needs some structure. I don't know if you have experienced that. They need some structure to kind of have a healthy life. So all human life needs structure. So it's organic, but it's also organization. It's living, but it's also structured. It's family, but it's also temple. That's a biblical picture. It's temple. It's both then. So I believe life goes through crisis in development. I believe church is both organic, living, but structure, organization. And this, the organization part I'm going to talk about. Because when you start a church, because I'm in church planting, and you start a church, and I've started two churches that is living and healthy. And when you start a church, this is a beautiful phase. Because this is the phase when you pioneer something of enthusiasm. You know, have someone who pioneered something new? You have. It's enthusiasm. It's joy. It's we. It's family. This is every pioneer phase has this. I started two business. It's the same. It's pioneer phase. It's direction. It's vision. It's moving. It's not so very structured in the beginning. If you have been in a pioneer phase, it's not so very structured. You remember the first when you started, not very structured. So this is a part of it. It's faith. It's optimism. It's energy. It's vision and identification to the vision. That's a part of the pioneer phase. And in this phase of pioneering, it's so important that you clarify vision and you live culture, the values. You live the values, you live culture. Because values is how we live or practices of life, how we live together. So in this phase of pioneering, what's happening, you model culture, the values, what you want to be within that, the DNA. You clarify vision, you know where you're going. You multiply people in our church, discipleship, winning new people. You disciple people, you grow. You maybe grow through groups, so you're one group, two groups, three groups, four groups, five groups, and you grow. And in that growth, leadership potential are kind of recognized. And therefore, when we plant churches, it's so important not put your hands on people too early. Because you don't know. It's tested in the first phase, in the pioneering phase. It's always. So wait to put your hands and put leaders into permanent leadership. Because it's tested to the pioneer phase. And in a context, it's different when how many you are. But when you grow in this pioneer phase, you come to a phase where you suddenly hit a ceiling. There's something happening. There's something happening. Some of the good things start to get to bad things. Some of what that people just give in everything. They start to question, why don't they give in so much? It's coming something. And people start to complain. People start to complain. If you have been through the pioneer phase, you know what I'm talking about. Because they ask the question, is it place for me here? Do I decide anything? Is I a part of it? And in a Northern European context, you grow, depends on the culture, but it could be from 50 to 150 people. I will always say when you pioneer something, keep the pioneer phase as long as possible, because there is a momentum in that. Don't do too much. Often you do all too much. Get focused. Keep on something, do it well, and keep the pioneer phase as long as possible. But then you hit a ceiling. And it's the same ceiling in Acts 6. I wonder, is it possible that even these spiritful first Christians start to complain? They were filled by the Spirit. Why did they complain? They should be nice and lovely, but they complained. They argued, complained. You remember Acts 6? Because they hit a ceiling where the unstructured pioneer phase, it's not so relevant and helpful anymore. So you hit the ceiling when people start to ask questions about, is it place for me here? Am I involved? Is this helpful? Where do I fit? Who take this decision? What is really happening? Is the information coming out to everybody? No, I didn't know about this. Well, we haven't known so structured for information, so we don't know if everybody knows, so it's just how it is. But you hit that ceiling in the pioneer phase, and then you go out to a new phase. It's the structural phase. So here is pioneering, is we. It's identification to the vision, it's modeling the values. Is growing, growing, growing. And then suddenly hit the ceiling. And you need to structure. Some church plant, in our context, especially the church planter, they don't like complaining. So what they do? They see the people who complain as enemies. And they start to get against them. So they kick out 30 people, and then they replant again for this so much more fun to be in the pioneer phase. Because as leader, either they are insecure, and they don't understand a new phase is coming. It's a pain, but we need to move further on if we're going to grow further on. And we have many planting churches, that the leaders, the church planter, don't understand what really happened around him. And he takes that a spiritual attack. And he puts some spiritual words on him. It's not spirit at all. It's just chaos. And there's time for some order, some structure, if you're going to grow further on. So then you come into a structural phase of the organization. I will say it's dangerous with number, because when you talk about Slovenia or Norway and Spain and Russia, or it's very different when it comes to church and number. And it's very different. So it's danger with number. But I will say this could be like 50 to 150. And this could be like 100 to 200, 250. People, dangerous with number, but you understand what I try to say. So when you then come into the structuring phase, what is that? Well, this is about, I want to just take up my note. You need to enlarge your home. Before you had only one room and we were all together. No, you need to make more space, more room. For people to decide in their own room. You understand? more space, more room. Give more leadership to other people. And in Acts 6, the leaders decide, we're going to concentrate on leadership. And that's what you need. The leader needs to concentrate on leadership to lead. And then they need to give different people working with different things. So you put more leadership. In the first phase, you reveal leadership potential. In the second phase, you train the leaders. And if the leaders are so involved in planning, coordinating, and not training the leaders, well, you don't bring up leaders around you. You don't disciple people. You don't have structure to really move on further on. So in this phase, the home gets more room. You concentrate in leadership. You grow in quality. This phase is very outgoing. This is a little more ingoing, inward. A little bit. You're still growing, but you concentrate in. The leadership had to concentrate in Acts. You delegate, you involve, you clarify structure, who's involved, and you enlarge the ownership to the vision. Because it's so when you grow, it's so easy that the people will say, they own the vision. They are the people. But now you need to enlarge the ownership. So it's not like 30 people who owns the vision. It's 100 people who say, we are moving here. You take people along with you. Pastoring is shepherding. And a shepherd, what does he do? He takes the sheep along on the journey. It's not static at all. So you start to take the people along with you and walk with you, and you train leaders, and you create a structure that is healthy and people can grow in, and you delegate. I know in some culture this is difficult because there has to be trust. If there's no trust among leaders, it's very difficult. But I think trust is a very biblical term, that we need to trust each other and entrust people into leadership. And we need to have things that we can correct and help each other to grow. We train leader. We train leadership competence. We bring them into Jesus and let them bring their giftings into the church and into the organization. And we train board. And we enlarge the vision, and we secure that the value system in the structure remain. Very often you lose track when you go into the structure phase. You lose a little bit of the vision because you don't enlarge the vision so it's owned together, and you lose your culture because you don't guard your culture that you build on. The challenge here in this phase is this. If here is the big picture, and here is the detail, if here is the now, and here is the future. Okay? So here is the detail, and now here is the big picture, and here is the future. What's now and what's detail? That's called administration. Little more big picture, but not so much. And not really to the future, but a little closer. It's called management. Big picture and future is called leadership. The question is, in the pioneer phase, I'm planting two churches. I did everything in the beginning because we were 10 people. I administrate, I manage, I plan, I coordinate, I did everything. And I gave vision. You know, I need a little bit of response because I don't need... Is my English okay? Do you understand me?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. It's just who I am. So, and then you grow, you need some structure that you need to manage. But you give leadership. But when you grow more in the structure phase, if you still are dealing with the detail, still are coordinated planning and everything, you are not managed to lead. So what I will say is this. Management is problem solving, is planning, it's following up, accountability, is coordination, that's management. Leadership is guarding the culture. Are we living in the way, the healthy life of the people? Are we living in the way that we think we should? Are we seeing the flock going in the right direction? We are guarding. We are developing leaders around us. We invest in leaders. We are communicating vision, not once a year, but every week. Because you know, we are on this way. We are on this mission. Do you know? Should you be with us? We are here. It's here we're going. This is what God has called us to. This is where we're going. We are communicating vision in every meeting, everywhere we are, because we are leading people in a direction. We are leading. It's strategy integration. We help everything in the organization to go in one direction. One direction. And it's resource integration. We see where we're going and we allocate resources to what's needed. That's leadership. Most of the churches are not led, only pastored. Because many pastors have not leadership giftings, or they have not developed leadership gifting to that level. Because when you're growing the organization here and move into the end of this phase, if you don't move away from administration, planning, coordination, accountability, problem solving, pastoring, counseling, you cannot manage to lead. You need to train leaders who do counseling. You train leaders who plan. You train leaders who coordinate. You get up leadership who do this so you can concentrate on leading. And the most churches stop growing by 100, 150, 200 because it's not very spiritual. Because lack of leadership. Simple. Lack of leadership. And not understanding that they have to change the way they lead when the church is growing. They can't lead the pioneer phase and the structure phase and the next phase in the same way. They can't. They need to understand when an organization grows, you need to lead in a different way. Not change leadership, but get an understanding of what the situation demands to take it further in the next step of leading an organization. So I think some of the challenge here in this phase is this, that people, if you, I don't know if you're a pastor, because when I'm asked many pastors, they will say, well, I use 80% of my time here. And so when did you give the vision for the church last time? I think it was when we had the yearly meeting. And I say, so what can they follow? Where do they go? Who tell them? Well, if you are not moving from here to the big picture, more in the future, it's difficult to lead. Sorry, it's difficult to lead. Because now you start to lead not hands-on, but through the people. You allocate resources. You paint the picture of the future. And if no one paint an alternative picture of the future, that's leadership. The people around you will just repeat what there's today. If you don't paint an alternative picture of the future, the people will just repeat what they do today. And leadership is to paint the picture of the future. Where are we going? Where God has called us to go. We are shepherding the people to a direction, to His mission, to God's mission, for the church, and we are growing. Because when you come to the end of this phase, there's a new crisis. What happened here? It's what happened many places. Good leader, maybe the best leader, ask, is there a place for me? And they start to leave silently. They just disappear. Because they ask, are we really doing what we should do? Because here, you structure yourself. And the people with a pioneer spirit and leadership spirit within you of potential, they don't like structure too much. They like to move further on. They like to say, can I do something? I don't need all the instruction. I can just do it. And many of them, because they use structure sometimes and don't understand that it's time for releasing people into pioneer, into multiplication, into new work. And if you don't understand there's a new phase of releasing, you lose the best leaders. They just disappeared. They withdraw. Someone make a fight, others just disappear. Because now they feel, I need more room. I need more freedom. I need more place. I want to do something new. Now we have structure here for a long time. Are we really reaching out to people? Are we really doing what we should do? And this question coming up, it's a time for releasing people. Give space and freedom and pioneer new things. And then you go to the next growth phase. And very few churches come to that phase. Very few. Multiply new churches. Multiply another service, or third service, or fourth service, or multiplying new works, new ministry. Multiply the pioneer spirit in the organization again. Very few come to that place. Sorry. And why? Lack of leaders here who get away from the core, from the management side and go into the leadership side and take leadership and give vision, God value, release people. And if you not have a clear vision here, when you release people here, you go into division. And if it's not there's trust among the leader here, you have a problem here. So here you work to build leadership, build the trust, build new leader, new levels of leaders into the organization. So here, it's not only delegate things, you give mandate to people. You release people with mandate. Say, we believe in you. You can do it. You can plan something new. You can start a new service. Yes, you can really reach the young people. We release you. We give you mandate. We keep you accountable, but we give you space and freedom to pioneer something new. It's beautiful to see churches who just take first phase, second phase, and then you come to a new, and sometimes as you come to that, it could be growth quite quick when you release the new pioneer spirit within the organization. Quite quick. And you give freedom, and there is a new enthusiasm, commitment, faith, optimism, creativity. And when you have the values and vision in place, you go further as one in unity. You are still a leadership that is concentrate, but you are not working so much at all here. You are working to give space to people. I call it a visionary space that people can run within. They run. And when you give your heart to them, you get the heart back. It could be that someone of these say, well, goodbye, we leave. Let them leave. Don't be threatened. Let them go. Bless them. Continue with what you're doing. Give vision. Move on with the people where God have called you to lead. I'm doing like this. Oh, sorry. I do like this. Leadership, for me, biblical, is 2 Timothy 2:2. Find some people who are faithful, character, and what more?
Able
skills. It's okay to be able. Isn't it? It's okay to be able. So it's both character and competence. So it's both and. It's not a contradiction. It's both character and competence. But when we work, it's both people and fruit or results. Go into a make disciple, bear fruit, move on. So we should have some results, shouldn't we? There should be something out of the ministry. If there's zero ministries, no one gets saved, no one disciple, no one. If there's zeroing, there's a question, what are we doing? It's a this hard question, but painful question, but we should ask that question. So therefore, when we talk about leadership, I say, well, character and people has all about social responsibility. Social responsibility, that's that I'm a leader, I have the responsibility to build trust to the people around me. I have responsibility to really work so there's no tension and conflict. Well, there be tension, but not conflict, so I deal with them. I have responsibility to give respect to the others around me so they feel lifted up, not pushed down. That's social. I have a social responsibility for myself in meeting with the surrounding. But then there is also not only social, but personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. What is that? Well, I'm responsible. Nothing will happen. You will have no result if you don't take personal responsibility. If you sit and wait, that everybody else should do things. You don't take responsibility for the situation, for your own life, your health, your body, what you're going to do. You need to take personal responsibility. This is the character side, and we have a lot who are very nice people, high character. But high character don't move anything. But in biblical, we will say, I would prefer high character than high competence. Or in some way, both and. But when you, in biblical term, we are looking for character. Because competence can be added. But character is more difficult to change. So when you have take social responsibility, you gain trust with the people around you. When you then have personal responsibility, you gain respect. Because you have many who have trust, but they're not really respected. Because there is something of the person, there's something they're saying, and their life is showing something else. What they say and what they do is not really matching. So, but if you have trust and respect, you don't lead. But that's the basic for leading. You need trust and respect to lead. Therefore, we need to work on the character side. But then we need to have competence, leadership competence. And what I call social competence. And for me, leadership competence is visionary competence, directional competence, organizational competence, how we communicate with the people, that's more social competence. So there's a lot of competence area. So when I'm working with people, I work also to grow the competence. How can you grow in visionary competence? How can you grow in understanding organizational competence? That's what I try to tell something about. So I think growing as leader, but in the middle here, I call it mandate. That you have to lead out from who you are. And there's a research from Harvard Business on Leadership that is very biblical, very biblical. They say good leader, they know their history and embrace their history. They live reconciled with their own history. That's Christian, isn't it? To live reconciled with your own history. Take God's grace into your own history. That's brilliant. And they say they know their potential. They know who they are. Their giftings, their skills, the motivation, they know who we are. And they are, third, intrinsic motivated. They have a passion, and they're living out their passion. And the third, they have an integrated life host. They manage to balance their life in a good way, work, service, private, job. They manage to keep things integrated, not only in balance. Sometimes we are unbalanced, but integrated. And fourth, the fifth, they have always managed to get good people around them so can help them in the different area. They are accountable. I think this is very biblical. Integrated life, very biblical. Embrace your own history, reconcile history, very biblical. Understand your potential. Jesus said, I know who I am and know where I'm going when he was talking to Pilate. Well, very biblical. Living out from intrinsic motivation, quite biblical. Be accountable to other. Okay, biblical. I love that because a lot of the human resource from the top business is just revealing biblical principle of leadership of living. I love that. If you're coming in a traditional church and you should do some change. There is some, I just give you some rules of thumbs, like some that I think is important. Number one, change. is rooted in leadership, but coming from the fringe. What do I mean? If you come in a traditional church and there are split in leadership, forget change. There has to be unity in leadership if you're going to change anything. If there's no unity in leadership, I will never go into a church and do anything. Because God blessed the principle of unity. How lovely it is when brothers joy together in unity. If there's no unity in leadership, forget it. Don't try to change anything. Try to build unity. First, build unity. Work together. Get to know each other. Understand each other. Work together to find a place of unity. And then, if you're going to change, there is a formula for change. That is this. This is very simple. That vision plus dissatisfaction plus plan have to be bigger than resistance. Vision plus dissatisfaction plus plan have to be bigger than resistance. If there's not another new vision in that unity, forget to change.
But with this resistance, you know, in the church.
That's in the church body. So, not if there are resistance in the leadership, forget it.
Okay.
Forget it. Unity in leadership. But if that leadership don't manage to paint another picture of the future, vision, forget it. Because if you're going to change, you need to start to paint an alternative picture of future where you want people to go. And if there's no visionary power in the leadership to paint an alternative picture, why try to change? If you can't tell people where we're going, don't try to change. And if there is not like a deep dissatisfaction, like a prayer, like a need, like a passion, like we can't be like we are not reaching people, we are not doing what God has called us to do. If there's not a deep dissatisfaction, forget it. Because it's that dissatisfaction, that's passion to see something else that will keep you through. And there has to be a plan. 2 years. Within these 2 years, this is the picture we see, and we're looking forward to that. And we have a plan for change. The cost of change is discipline. You have to focus and stay with it, the picture you see. It's discipline, and it's a lot of time, and it's fear. Always in change process, fear's coming up in leadership. Because will we come through? Will it happen? And then it's faith that keeps us going. Because we believe in, we have seen, we know, God spoke, we're gonna do it, we will be there. It's faith and hope and love. Then we have all three. That gives direction. If there's no faith of an alternative future, don't try to change. You will just disappoint people around. There needs to be something within. And then you will need to deal with your fear and your insecurity. You lose some of the safe thing that's there. and your relationship to some good friends or some others are maybe really tested. That happened. And it's good to have a little humility. But what's important? Change is not often coming from inside out, it's coming from outside in. But it's rooted here. Because you paint an alternative picture, and some would say, yes, we are with you. We have longed for this. We have waited for this. And they will start. It's maybe they will start not from the kind of more central, but they will start something new and to build a new culture, a new way of being church, a new way of something. And you start to get into and taking on more and more of the church. And the best is to be with new people. New people coming to faith, new people. And you create something. Because change is, by definition, an attack on the existing. It is. It's felt as an, I'm not good enough. I have been here for 30 years, 40 years, and what I have done in 40 years is not good enough. That's kind of what it feels. It's a loss of influence for some people. It's a loss of influence. I have not the influence. I was the one who played the piano, the organ, every day, every week in 30 years, and no, I'm not doing. They don't want me anymore. They don't want me anymore. I lose my influence. I don't like that. I will fight for that. That's happened. That's changed. It's loss of influence. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear for not succeed. It's a relationship that can be tested and missed and destroyed. And for many, you will meet, is why should we change? Is this the time? Is it the right time? We have some bad experience. The last pastor came, he didn't also try this, but he didn't succeed. There are so many emotional things involved in change process that you need to be aware of. You need to be aware of. And you need to speak with highly respect of what have been. That's important. Don't speak negative. Just bless and honor and speak with respect. But because of the VDP, we can't stand where we are. We need to go into another land. We need to move on to another place. We see there is a promised land. It will be desert for not 40 years, but maybe 2 years. But because we see the promised land, we will stay through the desert of change. We will come across. We will endure. Because we have a vision. And we have a dissatisfaction. And we even have a plan to do it. And I could talk more about how to do it. And the best is to be in a church and help them to go through it. And we need people who can help churches to go through change processes, to move into a new season.